Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.
Morning. You all right? I hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. You bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking around for the day ahead. Come on, wakey-wakey. Eggs and bakey. The day's half over. Let's go. Wake up, sleepyhead. It is now 8 minutes. Oh, sorry, not 8 minutes. I've done that before, haven't I? 0 minutes past eight. It is just gone 8 a.m. British summer time on Tuesday the 16th of June in the year of our Lord, 2026. You guys know who you are. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best people on earth, basically, turning up to watch the Bow Show live, getting involved in the chat, doing the poll, perhaps consider sending in a super chat or a rumble rant. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the all-powerful editor there, producer, rather. Okay, should we just get straight into it? What's all the faffing about for? Why are we fanning about? Stop that. Just let's go. Let's get into it. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors banging on about this morning? What have we got here? Okay, social media firms hit back. There you go. Social media firms hit back. And arson attack on Starmer linked to Russia. So, we finally got some results to that arson attack, those Ukrainian lads. Okay. And social media firms hit back. Should we just get straight into it? The Guardian. Oh, straight off the bat with The Guardian. Oh, it's a bit early for that, isn't it? Gross. The Guardian. Smells like a wet dog. The Guardian smells like a dirty hippie, doesn't it? Okay. Social media firms hit back at PM as PM vows to ban under 16s. Interesting, though, this morning's a lot of the news coming out, and Starmer made a speech yesterday, a little address. Plans to be introduced next year. He probably won't be Prime Minister next year. Probably won't be Prime Minister in, like, 2 months' time. Whether King Andy Bumham, the first of his name, King of the North, and his eyeliner are going to do anything about it when he's in power, we shall see. Yeah, a lot of the social media firms say if you ban sort of Meta, or if you ban Facebook and X and TikTok, assuming the kids don't just get round it easily, literally one click into some other proxy or mirror site and they can see it anyway, then it will force them onto even worse sites, even less regulated, worse sites. Okay. Find a bit of football, I'll keep it to a complete minimum. Spain drew 0-0 with Cape Verde. It's a turn up for the books. Spain are the bookies' favourites, weren't they, going into this? Spain were the favourites, France were second favourites, England were third favourites. So Spain, supposed to be, well, are one of the best teams in the world, arguably the best international team in the world. They couldn't score a goal against Cape Verde. Cape Verde's tiny, tiny little island, tiny population. Terrible football team. Well, not terrible, obviously. I managed to keep a clean sheet against Spain. All right, there you go. That's a turn up for the books. Strait will open now. Iran deal all signed. Trump is supposed to have said that the Iranians have actually already signed that deal. It's not really a deal, is it? It's just that memorandum of understanding, giving themselves 60 more days to make an actual deal. Trump says it's already signed. They're open at the G7 at the moment, isn't it? The G7's going on. All right, let's talk about this. Russia link as too guilty of Starmer arson attack. Should we talk all about it? Finally, we got some details. There were three lads that were on trial for this at the Old Bailey. One of them was acquitted, didn't do anything wrong. And the other two were found guilty of arson, basically arson. So the question is, what was going on? What really was it all about? Well, where to begin? In the trial itself, they were found guilty, but the trial didn't really go, it seems, from reporting that I've been reading this morning, last night and this morning. The trial itself didn't go into a great deal of detail, which is weird and suspicious in and of itself, about exactly what, who was behind it. It went into their motivations. Apparently the motivations was money. They were being paid by someone. They didn't know Keir Starmer. They've never met Keir Starmer, apparently. They were just told to go and do this. They didn't even know that what they were burning used to belong to the Prime Minister. They had a handler, a Russian handler. They didn't even know what they were doing. They were just told, do this, and you'll get some money. That's the story. And then the trial didn't go into really who the handler was in any real detail. But the papers, the media, sort of have done some digging now. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk all about that, because that's like the juicy bit, isn't it? That's the interesting bit. That's the actual crux of the matter, isn't it? Okay, so we'll talk all about that. We've got a long BBC article. In fact, let's just go straight to it now. Let's just do it top of the show. Let's talk all about it now. There's a BBC article here. I think I'll read all of it. It's quite long as well, but I'll spend 5-10 minutes reading it. You know, breakfast with Beau, reading the news so you don't have to. Should I start saying that? Should I make that one of my things I say nearly every day? Reading the news so you don't have to. Now, just before I go into it then and start reading, tell you all about it. Obviously, I mean, it goes without saying, really, take it all with a pinch of salt, right? Because, I mean, do you believe the BBC and other legacy corporate mainstream media outlets? Do you believe them? Hasn't the BBC always been, a mouthpiece for the establishment? Hasn't it always been sort of the front-facing media organ of the British intelligence services? Yeah, it has. So, what I'm about to tell you and read, take with a pinch of salt. You know, the people that wrote this, Daniel DeSimone, Tom Beale, and Olga Malchevska, have they just been told what their narrative, what their angle should be, what to peddle? Because a lot of it, though there is some detail and some sort of seemingly facts, there's also a lot of insinuation and a lot of sort of, guilt by association type stuff in the article as well. And right at the very, very end, it says, oh, and the police say they don't know anything about everything we've just told you about. Let me just quickly read this. Oh, it goes into Hope Not Hate. Tommy Robinson gets name dropped. Tommy's involved. Of course he's not really, but they make it so that he is. Ben Wallace, they asked Ben Wallace for... Look, at the very end, it says, Commander Helen Flanagan, a policewoman, Helen Flanagan, head of the counter-terrorism policing in London, said the aim of the attack was clearly to intimidate and create fear for the Prime Minister and to attack the UK. But she said police have not been able to prove the identity of EL. Oh, all this story revolves around the handler, right? Who was telling these young Ukrainian lads to do this? Their handler, EL, a mysterious EL. Spy games, espionage, not really. Okay, EL is at the heart of this, whoever that is. They tell you they think they know who it is. Some 23-year-old Russian son of a diplomat called Yevgeny something or other. We'll get into it. But the police say they've not been able to prove the identity of EL. Like, this whole article I'm about to read is going on and on about who this EL is and what his connections are. The police go, we don't know that. We don't think that. We're not sure about that anyway. Look, we're unable to prove the identity of EL or who was working for or who he was working for, and that we've got no evidence to suggest that this was a state-backed threat. That's the police. So the BBC spend ages talking about how it is a state-backed threat, Russian state-backed threat, but then right at the end they go, oh, and by the way, the police say there's no evidence of it. But it might be. I mean, that's another thing. Right, where I have thrown shade at Zelensky and Ukraine many, many, many times, I've been accused sometimes of like being pro-Russian, And I'm not. I've said many, many times as well. I'm not pro-Russian. Right? I'm not pro either of them. I'm not interested in that conflict. It's got nothing to do with us, as far as I'm concerned. Right? So let's just make it clear. I've mentioned before, remember Sasha Litvinenko. I've said that two or three times on camera. The murder of Sasha Litvinenko. It was a crazy thing to poison him with polonium in a London hotel in tea. Crazy thing. The Novichok poisonings. Crazy. The Russians are a strategic enemy on some level. Of course they are. I've said, I think I said, was it even yesterday or at the end of last week? I just explicitly like look into the camera and say, yeah, I think Putin is a gangster and a murderer. Yeah. Right, just because I throw shade at Ukraine doesn't mean I'm pro-Russian. All right, anyway, let's say that. Let's just say that. The number of journalists and political enemies of Putin in Russia over the years that have just disappeared or just turned up murdered. Like, if you're a journalist in Russia and you throw enough shade at Putin, you disappear. Okay, should we talk about it then? Should we talk about the details of the case, what came out in the case, and then what the BBC has to say about it? Not just the BBC as well. All the legacy mainstream media are going with this angle. All of them. The BBC is a good bellwether of what the legacy corporate mainstream media think and say, aren't they? All right, let's read it then. Even after he set fire to Sir Keir Starmer's house, Roman Lavrinovich... Let me make sure I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, Lavrinovich, because it's going to say it again and again and again. Roman Lavrinovich, convicted on Monday of conspiring to commit arson, seemed to know as much about the Prime Minister as a bullet knows about its target, i.e. nothing. His anonymous handler, known by the initials EL, gave a clue in a message. And EL, the mysterious Russian handler, is supposed to have said, look, you attacked the home of a very high-ranking person in Britain. I'll send you money. You need to leave the city. It was too late. This is the BBC's editorial continuing. It was too late. Lavrinovich was arrested within hours. The 22-year-old Ukrainian builder had been weaponized to target the UK's head of government. But by who? Dum, dum, dum. John le Carrier needs to write a novel about this. Spy games. Really, isn't it? It's all very lame, really, compared to actual Cold War stuff. Okay, but by who? Our investigation has found the arson attack, which was one part of an extensive campaign of sabotage, provocation, and lies leading all the way to the Russian state. The handler, EL, who directed Lavrinovich, offered Russian citizenship in return for other attacks and glorified President Vladimir Putin. Messages the BBC has uncovered show. One thing to say is that the Ukrainian, particularly this Lavrinovich, who seems to be the main one of the two that got convicted, seems to have been a Ukrainian, but, you know, like a Russian-Ukrainian, if you know what I mean. There's Ukrainians that are pro-Ukrainian and speak Ukrainian or whatever, and then there's ones in the Donbass region that are Russian-speaking. Consider themselves more Russian than, much more Russian than Ukrainian, right? That's part of what all the war in the Donbass is about, isn't it? That it seems that this Lavrinovich is one of those. Like, his Russian was much, much better than his Ukrainian, apparently. Seems to, if you believe this, prepared to act on behalf of the Russian state, if you believe this. So, all right, take that into account. He's Ukrainian, but not like a pro Zelensky, pro Kiev Ukrainian. All right? Okay. We have identified evidence, we, the BBC, have identified evidence suggesting that EL is a young Russian diplomat schooled in information warfare by spies and propagandists who is close to the highest levels of power in Moscow. His name is Yevgeny Lyushkin. Lyushkin. Yevgeny Lyushkin. He is 23 and the son of a senior official. Russian operatives ran their sabotage and provocation campaign remotely through social media and the messaging app Telegram, we found, creating fake online far-right and Muslim groups. This is interesting, again, if true. That they made fake far right and pro-Muslim groups, obviously different ends of the spectrum, right? The idea is to sow division and discord in Britain. I'm going to stop saying every 2 seconds, if you believe it. But just bear in mind. I'm going to stop saying it because I might say it a couple more times. But because otherwise it'd be every 2 seconds. I'd be like, if you believe that, if you believe that. Okay. Right. They created fake on-right, far-right and Muslim groups, which were used to organise acts of vandalism in the UK and stir up division and fear. Accounts based in Russia posted lies about the motive for the arson attack, targeting Starmer, which were spread by figures such as far-right anti-Muslim activist Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson had an opinion and a take, said so on social media. Now he's part of the story. Smear that in. They're obsessed with Tommy, aren't they? The Legacy Corporate Mainstream League. They're obsessed with him. He's their boogeyman, isn't he? Tommy Robinson, of all people. Okay. The Russian embassy said, "We reject any attempt to associate Russia or its foreign ministry with unlawful activities." One way or another, they would say that, they wouldn't they? If it's true or not, they would deny it, obviously. It said that Russia poses no threat to the United Kingdom or its people and harbours no aggressive intentions towards Britain. Well, Putin has made belligerent comments towards us in recent times, hasn't he? Lykushin did not respond to our questions, this 23-year-old son of a diplomat who's supposed to be the spymaster handler. Moscow Center. But hours after contacting him, a propaganda channel we had challenged him on disappeared. Work for the glory of the nation. Ukrainian national Labranovich and Ukrainian-born Romanian national Stanislav Karpiuk, no idea how to pronounce that properly, Karpiuk, 27, have now been convicted at the Old Bailey of conspiring to target property and a car connected to the UK Prime Minister. A third man, Petro Pokinok, 35, was found not guilty of conspiracy to commit arson. The first fire last year occurred when a Toyota, previously owned by the Prime Minister, was set ablaze in North London. There were two more arson attacks, one at the entrance of flats where Sir Keir Starmer used to live and another at the entrance of his house, which had been rented to his sister-in-law after his move to number 10. But the trial of the three men was strange, mainly because the true author of the drama was never revealed, E.L., the case focused strictly on financial motive, the identity connections and motives of the anonymous handler who offered Labranovich money for the attacks were deliberately avoided. That's the BBC saying that. Apparently the barristers, all the lawyers, deliberately avoided that. Maybe there's a reason, I don't know, I'm not a barrister, right? I've got an undergrad in ancient history and a postgrad in policy and government. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe there was good reasons or legit reasons why that, you know, this isn't the point of the trial. I don't know. You would have hoped, you would have liked that. It would have been nice if they had though, wouldn't it? Maybe if the police can get enough evidence on him, he'll have a trial of his own. Who knows? Probably not, I would have thought. He'll be spirited away back to Russia or something. In fact, he's already in Russia, right? He's in Russia, so. We asked Interpol to hand him over. We'll go and grab him, Maduro style. Okay. In court, the handler was referred to as EL money. Mo money, mo problems for EL, which is how he was saved in Labranovich's phone. But on the Telegram messaging app, he simply used the initials EL. This app was where EL recruited Labranovich, finding him in a group for Ukrainians in London seeking work. From that innocuous initial connection, Labranovich was tasked with actions of escalating criminality, from plastering posters to graffiti to arson. Labranovich now knew he was doing wrong, but carried on anyway, hoping to earn a payday. In court, there were only a limited number of messages from EL, all of them sent to Labranovich and Karpiuk, which showed him writing in formal Russian and far less proficient Ukrainian. See, that's why I say, I imagine these two guys that got found guilty of arson are sort of pro-Russian Ukrainians. Okay. But we were able to uncover EL's wider activities using open source tools. Classic. Open source tools. Sure. That's what it is. So don't worry about what that really means. Open source tools. Fun and games. The BBC got connections to our intelligence services. MI6, GCHQ, etc. Are they basically the front for them? EL's ideology and goals were plain, according to the BBC. Again, like, this all could be misdirection, couldn't it? Bear that in mind. This could all be misdirection. All of this. That's what intelligence services do. It's one of their most powerful tools, is to just muddy the waters. Just misdirection. Okay, but let's carry on. Messages from the EL account in various Telegram channels show him glorifying Putin and Russia, attacking the Ukrainian people and promoting Russian narratives. It is obvious that Putin is the leader of the white race, he posted in one chat. EL posted in job groups for Ukrainians asking for painters to do graffiti in London. But in other chat groups, he used deeply offensive Russian terms for Ukrainian people. EL incited attacks on conscription centres in Ukraine, which has been at war since Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022. He said that people there who are in favour of the white Slavic race should join the real Third Rome, a reference to the belief that Russia is the successor to the Roman Empire. That's a very old idea, by the way. Talked about it, I think, with Apostolic Majesty before, at least in passing. Work for the glory of the nation to spite our enemies, EL added, before offering $1,000, which is £749, and Russian citizenship as a reward for arson attacks. So that's really at the key of this trial, just to go back to the trial, the facts of the trial. That was sort of what seems to have been shown in open court. That these two dudes, sort of pro-Russian Ukrainian types, were being offered Russian citizenship and a grand to just go and do something, like set fire to something. They don't know that that was Keir Starmer's old car or old flat. It's basically that. Okay. EL also gave hints about his identity, offering Russians in other Telegram groups access to documents from NATO and the CIA. And he supposedly said, quote, "My father leaks part of it to me. It was not for nothing that he went to Europe," end quote. This war. There was no mention in the trial of what the posters put up by Labranovich and on EL's orders actually advertised, a purported far-right group called Direct Action UK. Now they get into, now the BBC here and all of the corporate mainstream media, now they get into stuff that wasn't like in court, I don't believe. It's all their own investigations. So, you know, again, take it with a pinch of salt. They go on and on about this Direct Action UK and Tommy Robinson a bit and stuff. Let's read it. The group sought to appear as an organic British creation. I mean, this is classic. This is classic Cold War stuff. It's believable. I'm not sure if I believe it all, but it's believable. All right, let's read it. Direct Action. The group sought to appear as an organic British creation, but we found that Direct Action was created online by Russian operatives to cause division among ordinary people in the UK. Messages sent in the group bore a Moscow timestamp, used Cyrillic letters, and placed pound signs at the end of numbers rather than at the start, as in Russian. The accounts that were principally involved in running Direct Action, particularly EL's, were using other channels to promote Russian political goals and using Russian to communicate. Direct Action first appeared online in autumn 2024 after the riots that followed the Southport murders, and its propaganda exploited images from the disorder. Its social media channels, which the posters were advertising, featured videos branding Sir Keir a traitor, promoting hatred of Muslims, and offering money for violence and arson, including attacks on mosques and police. Direct Action also lionized Tommy Robinson. I throw a little bit of shade at Tommy from time to time. He's not the enemy, that, I mean. Tommy's not really got anything to do with this, is he? He's really not got anything to do other than having a take, having an opinion, like everyone has. They'll throw Tommy in there. Right. This is war, the group declared. But although Direct Action was fake, it generated, you see, the BBC's just established it's fake. Okay. It generated real-life attacks in London, six mosques and an Islamic school were vandalised last year after the group offered payment for Islamophobic graffiti. Slogans such as "Remigration" and "Stop Islam" were spray-painted on mosques from Croydon in the south of the capital to Leighton in the east. Direct Action turned video clips of the vandalism into brash social media videos to amplify hatred and create fear. The morning after a mosque and primary school had been vandalised by a Direct Action attack in Leighton, EL posted an innocent-sounding ad in a chat group for Ukrainian people seeking work in London, which said, "Part-time job today, Leighton District. You need to take pictures of two buildings." End quote. The BBC continued. He wanted images of the aftermath so the vandalism could be publicised online. Even Direct Action's apparent support on the ground was fake and only existed because it paid people to act. When Labranovich himself carried out actions for EL, he did so for financial reasons, the court heard, not because he shared Direct Action's ideology. There you go. There's a picture of it. So they're telling us now this was some sort of 3D, 4D chess, Russian spy games. Some hapless know-nothing pro-Russian Ukrainians were duped into spraying "Stop Islam" on the side of a mosque or something. Okay. If you believe that. Anti-racist organisation Hope Not Hate. Hope Not Hate. They're on the case. Don't worry, Hope Not Hate are on the case. They're completely trustworthy in everything they do. Hope Not Hate investigated Direct Action and reported its concerns to counter-terror police in February last year, months before the arson attacks relating to the Prime Minister. Hope Not Hate concluded that Russians were behind the group. The anti-racist organisation, Hope Not Hate, told the authorities people behind the group may be grooming UK residents to launch, quote, a terror attack against a mosque or identifiably Muslim target in the UK. But no one replied, says Nick Lowles, CEO of Hope Not Hate, which has since worked with the BBC to investigate Direct Action and the people behind it. Gives you a measure of the BBC, doesn't it? They work hand in hand with Nick Lowles and Hope Not Hate. Tell Mama, a group which monitors anti-Muslim hate, also passed evidence to counter-terror police and concluded that Direct Action appeared to be a Russian operation. It received an acknowledgement, but nothing more from police. Imam Atta, Tell Mama's CEO, told us she believed such actions are not taken seriously by police and it was worrying for Muslim communities to see a group offering cryptocurrency to vandalise mosques and create division. She said, "It's something that is happening online, but it is actually moving directly into criminal damage and criminal acts of violence and terrorism on our streets." The Met told the BBC it is investigating seven instances of criminal damage as anti-Muslim hate crimes. No arrests have been made and it is, quote, keeping an open mind, quote, whether offences are linked. Okay, got it so far? Pretty straightforward so far. It does get a little bit more murky. Before EL began running fake far-right groups, he helped to create bogus Islamic organisation called Takbir Foundation, the Takbir Foundation. So according to the BBC, this 23-year-old, Evgeny, is creating far-right groups like this Direct Action, but also pro-Islamic ones. The Takbir Foundation. We discovered this because the usernames for EL's Telegram account previously bore the name of the fake foundation. The foundation sought to recruit Muslims to spray paint sacred graffiti in the UK, but its real goal was obvious, to inflame the far right with its vandalism. Okay. Bit contrived, bit convoluted, isn't it? But I mean, possible. Okay. Telegram accounts that pretended to be those of devout Muslims later switched seamlessly to an aggressive anti-Muslim agenda with Direct Action. In a Telegram group for Muslims, another account called EL posted that, quote, "The Takbir Foundation is dedicated to financially supporting jihad throughout England. O Mujahideen, be courageous and extend your hand towards the coming caliphate." Is that coming directly from Moscow Centre? Is it? I don't know. I mean, let's be clear at this point. Give a little bit of my take. I don't know. I'm not going to say. I can't say. If I'm being honest, I'm being perfectly honest. It's all so murky. Who knows? Who knows? Okay, the foundation offered up to £150 for graffiti in one location and said, this is halal money to promote the word of Allah. But just as direct action would later pay people who were not really on the far right, Takbir Foundation offered money to non-Muslims to spray Islamic graffiti. It goes on here, I won't bother with some of the details, it just some Bristol graffiti artists were approached to do this and they declined. They were asked to spray paint the Declaration of Faith, the Islamic Shahada, on a Debenhams. Look, like that, see the pictures? Is this 4D chess out of Moscow Center? Is it? Is this poor hapless Ukrainians, Russian, pro-Russian Ukrainian people being duped into doing this by some 23-year-old handler in Moscow, the son of a diplomat? I don't know. Okay, the article goes on. Another link between EL and the Takbir Foundation underlines how the handler and his fake groups sought to provoke and divide ordinary people. EL had provided Roman Labranovich with an anti-Muslim poster. Okay, there's more of this. I want to get into where it talks. Look, there's a picture of Nick Lowles. There you go. Very, very serious man, isn't he? Doesn't look anything like Penfold. Doesn't look like Penfold's had too many pies. Okay, let's get into a bit of where it starts. So, look, Stephen Yaxley Lennon. It talks about Tommy. It says, the suspects did not know the Prime Minister personally, and they were not sex workers. But the lie was taken up by Tommy Robinson and loads of other people. The very person who had been promoted by Direct Action, EL's fake far-right group. Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. They did it. They did the meme. They couldn't help themselves, could they? Robinson, real name Stephen Yaxley Lennon, claimed on X that Sir Keir Starmer had been, quote, banging Ukrainian male sex workers and posted a fake image of the Prime Minister with the suspects. Putin's special presidential envoy, Kirill Dmitriev, reposted one of these messages about the case. Okay, now, some more of the stuff I wanted to, because it's quite a long article, this. Yeah, they start talking about now that they've established for you that this whole thing is Russia and the handler was this EL, right? Now they want to tell you all about who's behind EL, because obviously he's not the top of the chain, is he? A 23-year-old son of a diplomat. So now they just go on to do even more sort of guilt by association or sort of, for my mind, to my money, fairly tenuous. What tenuous links? These people are linked to him, it seems, but whether they're really behind it. Okay, they just start talking about various other sort of more senior spies, people that are in the Russian government that are sort of above EL. Let's pick up the story here. More often, however, it is age rather than nationality that attracts sabotage recruiters. Approached on social media, young people are offered easy money for a low-level crime, often masked as innocent tasks, then blackmailed if they try to refuse further actions. Again, that is classic sort of spy games. Very often people that do this sort of stuff, they're not necessarily a full-blown member of the intelligence services. They're just sort of forced or coerced or duped or blackmailed into it. That is true. That is classic. Okay. The US has long been a target. Okay, it goes on to talk a fair bit here about something called Texas versus USA, which they say that someone above EL was involved in, someone called Rybar. They're trying to sow discord and promote social division in the United States. Okay. I hope not hate had identified Texas versus USA as sort of a Russia. Oh, and Radio Southport. Another one of these, according to them, sort of completely fake Russian things. Radio Southport. They all promoted a relentlessly bleak view of the UK and spread racist abuse about migrants and Muslims. the same blueprint as Direct Action. Okay, let's get into the details of some other names that they start throwing out here. In the Direct Action Telegram group, we identified a member of the Russian elite associated with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yevgeny Lyshukin, whose initials EL match those of the handler who directed the attack on the UK Prime Minister. We found Lyshukin again in a private chat for Radio Southport, the channel created by Rybar. He was also in another chat that glorified the Wagner Group, the Russian-controlled military organisation whose late founder, Yevgeny Prigozhin, previously funded Rybar. A picture posted by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs shows him standing behind Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grushko at a Diplomats' Day event in Moscow in February, where Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov gave a speech. There you go. See how they do it? This guy knew this guy, who this guy was in a picture with this guy, and it's Sergei Lavrov. If you don't know, Sergei Lavrov is, like, you know, the most senior, super senior foreign minister dude. Putin's, effectively, like, Putin's foreign secretary. Or, like, State Department guy. The equivalent of Marco Rubio, the Russian one. You see, this guy knew this guy, who was funded by this guy, who's in a picture with this guy, and it's Putin. It might all be true. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just telling you what's in the news today. Okay. All right, it goes on. I've done this for quite a while now, but I thought, because, okay, that's sort of the main, it goes on to do more and more of these connections. But apparently that's the guy. That's that 23-year-old handler that they tried to blank his face out, but the BBC have got his face. There he is. There's the master spy, the master handler behind the arson attacks on Sir Keir Starmer. That's what they're saying. But remember again, right at the vent, oh, look, they got Ben Wallace to chip in. Ben Wallace used to be Defence Secretary, didn't he? And he just says, yeah, it would have come directly from the top. Launching attacks on property linked to the UK Prime Minister was a change of policy that, according to Ben Wallace, would not have just come from a low-level individual. It would have come from the very top. I mean, again, believable, right? It's likely, isn't it? I mean, if you believe this whole narrative, it's probably not that 23-year-old kid who's dreaming all these operations up, is it? It would have been someone above him, if it's all true. Okay, and then finally, right at the end, the BBC said, oh, the police say we have no evidence to suggest this was a state-backed threat. All right, there you go. I thought I'd spend quite a lot of time on it this morning because we've been starved of information about it, haven't we? Everyone's really interested in this story, in this case. That's gone cold. Moved to my backup water. This isn't a second cup of tea. So now we've got some of the details. I thought I'd bring it to you. I thought I'd spend a fair amount of time this morning talking about it. All right. So there you go. Will more stuff come out about it in the coming days and weeks, months and years? Or will this just be the established story now? They were Russian. It's Russia. It's come straight from Moscow and Lavrov and Putin. All right, shall we move on? It's already nearly 22, but I hope you were okay with spending so much time on that this morning. I think it was worth it. Okay. The Times, the venerable Times. There's the Princess of Wales looking radiant as ever, isn't she? I'm not even sure if I'm being ironic and sarcastic with that anymore. She is quite good looking and radiant, isn't she? I usually say that, if you don't know, like, ironically. As the papers love her. But she's quite radiant, isn't she? Anyway. at Windsor Castle, there was the ceremony for the Garter, the Order of the Garter. The Knights of the Order of the Garter. So she turned up in public, so they put a picture of her on the front page. Of course they do. Age checked on phones to access social media. PM promises ban for under-16s by early next year. He's unlikely to be in number 10, isn't he, by that point? Okay, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. There is the radiant Princess of Wales again. And the Prince of Wales. He is a member of the Order of the Garter, of course. He'll be king one day, won't he? Starmer's social media ban, a rush job. Yeah, many people saying it's all a bit slapdash. It's all a bit held together with scotch tape and baling wire. It's all a bit of a rush-through nonsense. Plan starts to unravel as tech giants warn that children will have less protection. Seems a reasonable argument. May well be the case. Oh, you know, you're a 15-year-old. You know, oh, I can't get on Facebook and TikTok anymore. I'll go to some other place. And it's the Wild West on that other place. I mean, I don't know. Oh, here's interesting. Churchill's biographer rejects starvation lies. I talked to him about this yesterday, didn't I? There was a little article saying that I think it was the National Gallery? I can't remember. One of the big galleries in London apparently had a video art installation that was just saying that Churchill was responsible for the Bengal famine of 1943. Do you remember me yesterday saying, well, that's just not... No, it was to do with the fact the Imperial Japanese army had invaded Burma and were controlling the seas in that part of the Indian Ocean. And there was a massive cyclone, right? A massive storm weather system that ruined the crops. And then they couldn't get food from Burma, which they were doing. And then we couldn't relieve them by ship because of the Japanese Imperial Navy. That was actually what caused that famine, really. A combination of weather and World War II. Not actually Churchill just deliberately saying, I'm going to deliberately starve 2 million Indian people for fun. Yeah, that's not what happened. Well, the Lord Roberts came out. Churchill biographer, the Lord Roberts. It's Andrew Roberts, isn't it? Who I actually don't like as a historian. I think he's an establishment shill. I think he's... I think he's like a cult historian. He's a cult historian. He writes what his overlords tell him to write. Nonetheless, he and loads of others, like 50 other people, signed an open letter saying, yeah, just that's not true. Like Churchill didn't deliberately... The accusation that the famine was deliberately... visited upon Bengalis by Churchill is foul and vile. Yeah, because it's not true, is it? It's just not true. So in this case, the Lord Roberts, Andrew Roberts, the Lord Roberts of Belgravia, Andrew, Andy, I agree with him on this one, on this stage. Actually, to be fair to Andrew Roberts, I call him a court historian and a shill and all that sort of thing. Like a lot of these people, most of his history is fine. Most of it is legitimately fine and good, solid, well-researched, etc., etc. It's just then they'll add in a paragraph somewhere in there. Russian diplomat linked to firebomb attack on PM's house. Okay, they see they're all going with it. They're all going with the narrative that it's the Russians. I mean, and it may be... I don't know, a little bit, doesn't smell fresh to me. Okay, I don't know. I wasn't there, I haven't got any special insight into what the Russian intelligence services are doing. All right, social media revolution, PM, my ban will keep kids safe. Will it? Will it? Or is it an exercise in controlling everyone of every age in the end? Thin end of the wedge to just censor everyone. Create a more censorious society for your political ends. Oh, but you're going to keep kids safe. Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, sure, sure. Eye paper, they go with the Russian plot. All about the Russian plot. The Russian mastermind. The 23-year-old Russian mastermind. Okay. Independent, again, they go with it. But there's the picture of the car. The Toyota. Starmer's ex-Toyota. Okay, arson attack on Starmer linked to Russia. Okay. Arson attack on Starmer's properties run by pro-Kremlin hacktivists. Hacktivists. Yep. Okay. All right. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. And they decide to go, they're not dropping the idea of an assisted dying bill. Remember we had the assisted dying bill that got defeated in Parliament, didn't it? Well, the people that want it haven't given up on that. Dame Esther Ranson. Is she there? I don't see her there. Dame Esther, delighted as Labour MP says she will reintroduce assisted dying bill. Our hope has been restored. I think I've said before, haven't I? A number of times, I'll say it again, I don't care. I think in some exceptional circumstances, if you're dying completely inoperable and the drugs don't work anymore, assisted dying is not the worst thing in the world. When you're lying in a hospital bed for months on end and the morphine doesn't work anymore, and you've just got to lie there in pain, and your family have got to watch you die, and you really want to die, you should be allowed to. Problem is, isn't it, though, that of course it won't be that, will it? Once there's an assisted dying thing, doctors, loads of doctors, will just say, we'll just write people off. Oh, it's too expensive to do extreme course of chemo and loads of surgery. So you can just kill yourself if you want, though. Do you want that? Yeah? 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 Okay, good. That's what it'll be. Loads and loads of people will end up unnecessarily ending their own life, I would have thought. It will be abused, won't it? It will be abused very quickly, probably on a large scale. Like in some other countries, was it Canada and some other countries? Or there's someone that's just very unhappy, given a few months or years, may come out of that depression and funk. But at that low ebb, a doctor said, well, you can end your life if you want. And they do. When they're young, when they're in their 20s or 30s or 40s, still got half a lifetime ahead of them or more. And if they're just, it would be abused, wouldn't it? It would really be abused. But a lot of people die that way, i.e. lying in a hospital bed for weeks or months in agony, just waiting to die. That's not uncommon. That's how a lot of people end. A lot of people. Some people watching this, that's how you're going to die. It might be how I'm going to die. A lot of people. You just waste away in a hospital bed in pain. Should you be allowed to end your own life if you want to at that stage? Oh, okay. It's a horrible, difficult one, isn't it? Talking about horrible, difficult things. Oh, well, I'll come back to that in a moment. This terrible story. Unbelievable story. These two gay men who are married adopted a little kid, a little boy, and then they sexually assaulted him in the worst way and just physically assaulted and even psychologically tortured him and then killed him. Choked him on something. Oh, took photos of it. Mr. Lowe, if you do a referendum on the death penalty, I will be voting for that. And the story, the angle of it is that they say 8 missed chances to save baby Preston from evil adoptive fathers. That the authorities, sort of childcare authorities, at least 8 times didn't sort of completely intervene and take that little baby off of them when they should have probably. Almost certainly should have. Because, again, the suggestion is they were worried about being called homophobic. Quickly back to this one, The Mirror. They talk about 10 years on since Joe Cox was murdered, and they mention David Amos. For anyone who doesn't know, this was a left-leaning politician who got murdered, and he's a conservative. Was he a conservative? Wasn't he a right-leaning David Amos who also got murdered? In 2016, her murder shocked us all. 5 years later, another MP fell victim to extremism. Today, as hate grows daily, their shattered families unite to call for a return to decency and civility. We need to talk. Okay. It's all very easy to say that, isn't it? We need to return to decency and civility. Well, the people that beat up young Bob the other day in the street, were they decent and civil? Are the people at Hope Not Hate and the Runnymede Trust, are they decent and civil, trying to annihilate us demographically, trying to flood us with foreign people to wipe us out, and then gaslight and call a Nazi anyone that notices and tries to say anything about it? Is that decent? Is that civil? So you can talk about decency and civility. Well, good luck with that. Okay, The Sun, they go with that. Poor little angelic baby. Oh my God, it's... Right, and the star goes with the fact that the wives and girlfriends of the England football team live in a completely separate HQ in Florida. The main England team's in, what, like Kansas somewhere? And their wives and girlfriends are kept 1,400 miles away in Miami. That's the front page. That's the most important thing going on in the day today. All right, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly absurd front pages. Absurd. Front page. Pardon me. All right. Let's have a look at our poll. What did we do in our poll today, Harry, if you bring that up for me? Oh, there it is. You say, we asked you, knocking up over 1,300 votes, nearly 1,400 votes, do you think Russia is behind the arson attacks? Oh, blimey. A stonking 92% of you say no. That's interesting. I thought it might be closer to 50-50, 60-40. No, the vast majority of you say no. Only 8% of you. And it's knocking up towards 1,400 votes on that. 92% say no. You're not buying the Russian thing. Yeah, it doesn't smell right, does it? There's something... Put it this way. I'm not prepared to just take all of that on face value. It could be true. But yeah, I'm not like... I'm not just swallowing that. Just, oh, yeah, okay, absolutely. Everything you say, BBC, sure. Yeah. Don't trust the BBC. They've lied to me and us too many times, haven't they? Don't trust them. Interesting, though. That was much higher than I thought. Much, much higher than I thought. All right. Well, good stuff. Interesting. Based. The Glorious Man, The Chosen Few. Based. All right, should we have a look at anything else? It's already 10-2. Was there one or two other things? Let's see. Oh, the ITV goes with that there's some schools. Are they, can you even really call them schools? Look, thousands of children at risk in dirty and dangerous illegal schools. Are they really illegal schools? Or is it just... It's to do with... It's a bit of a rabbit hole. There's so much going on there. It's a stretch to call them schools in any way, shape or form, isn't it? Okay. Like Keir Starmer and his ban. He's interesting from Sky News. Again, you see how the editorial line and just reality can be two different things. You get this. You got this deal with Trump. He says they've already signed the deal. The Straits of Hormuz will be fully open by Friday. Sky News decide to tell you Trump has admitted defeat on Iran war after historic blunder. I mean, that may or may not be the case, may or may not be true. It's certainly just Sky News' editorial position. Donald Trump has arrived for this week's G7 summit in France, keen to celebrate his peace deal with Iran. But the agreement has only proved this war was one of the greatest strategic blunders in US history. All right, says Dominic Waghorn. Oh, Dominic Waghorn, the master of all things geopolitical. He's the arbiter of truth when it comes to everything in the world. Bit presumptuous. The Daily Mail, top of the Daily Mail, is about the Beckhams. I won't spend more than a few seconds on this, but you know, Brooklyn Beckham, he's had a falling out, hasn't he, with David and Victoria. David and Posh, full-blown fallout with them. And now he's made some sort of advert cashing in on it. And the Beckhams, David and Posh, are inconsolable about it. That's the most important thing going on, according to the Mail Group's website this morning. All right. The Sun go with it as well. Slop. Pure slop. Okay, this guy. Fatal fall bungee jumper was still alive when found after being thrown 130 foot with no rope. What? Look. These clowns, like, chucked her off a bridge or whatever it was. 130 foot and they hadn't put a rope on her. They hadn't put a bungee rope on her. And then she didn't even immediately die when she struck the ground. Oh, horrible. Okay, thanks for that, Son. Thanks for bringing me that. Out of everything in the world you could report. Brilliant. Cheers. All right, should we have a look at the on this day in history? It's already 5-2. I like doing this bit. You guys kind of like me doing this bit. Let's have a look. On this day in history, down through the centuries, what happened of note? The 16th of June. Ah, the Great Siege of Gibraltar. Love it. In 1779, Spain declares war on Great Britain in support of France and the USA. The American War of Independence. The Revolutionary War. Starting the Great Siege of Gibraltar, which lasts 3 years, 7 months and 2 weeks. Because the British already held Gibraltar. I've got some sort of mark on my head there. The Siege of Gibraltar. Yeah, we held the Rock of Gibraltar. And the Spanish wanted it back. Tried really hard. Well, for 3 years, 7 months. Couldn't do it. At one point, they sent 60,000 men against 5,000 British defenders. Nope. They made a blockade around it. In the end, finally, the British Navy relieves the garrison on Gibraltar. Spain tried really, really hard to take Gibraltar off of us and failed. It's a great story if you're sort of pro-British. Okay, in 1858, Abraham Lincoln says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand, except in Illinois Republican Party's nomination for the Senate." Yeah, I've talked all about Abraham Lincoln before and the run-up to, I talked all about the American Civil War with Benjamin Boyce again. Talked all about that, yeah. A house divided, he's talking about their sort of pro-slavery and anti-slavery factions within the US government. The North and the South, essentially. That's what he means by house divided. He said, I don't expect this to destroy the United States. I expect one side will win. One or the other will. It'll become all of one thing. It won't remain divided. We have to become all one thing or all the other, is what he said. Okay. The Illinois rail splitter, Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe. A lot of Americans hate him. I think particularly people from the South. People like Razor Fist hate him. I think he was great. I think he was one of the greatest US presidents. Oh, he suspended habeas corpus. Yeah, that's normal for a time of war, particularly civil war. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In 1904, Bloomsday, the date of the fictional events in James Joyce's novel Ulysses. I haven't read Ulysses. It's one of those classics I really, really, really should have read. I like to think I'm reasonably well read, particularly in classics, the classic literature. But it's one of those ones I've picked it up a number of times, two or three times, tried to read it, didn't get on with it. I should listen to it on audiobook or something. It's one of those ones most people should have read. By the time you're in your 40s or 50s or whatever, you probably should have read it. It's that famous. But I just never have, so I can't really comment on that, really. I've tried it a couple of times. Last time was a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago. I tried to read Ulysses again and just couldn't get into it. Didn't like it. You get that, right? Paradise Lost. I've always struggled with Paradise Lost. Most Thomas Hardy novels. Okay. On this day in 1963, Soviet space mission Vostok 6 launches with Valentina Tereshkova aboard, making her the first woman in space. Oh, yeah, well done. That sounds really sarcastic. I didn't mean it. Yeah, well done, I suppose. Okay, on this day in the year 2000, Israel complies with UN Security Council Resolution 45 after 22 years, which calls on Israel to completely withdraw from Lebanon. Israel withdraws from all of Lebanon except the disputed Sheba farms. Oh, they stuck to that then, didn't they? They did well sticking to that. Israel do what they want when they want, don't they? Because they've got political cover from the United States. So they do what they want. All right, let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats, shall we? What do you think? Is it a Global Church History Day? Is he in at number one? Yes, he is. Reigning, defending, and still... Global Church History in at number one. He usually gives us a couple of factoids. What have we got here? On this day in 363, Julian the Apostate burned his Tigris fleet. Oh, yeah, cool. I've got to do some long form content about Julian the Apostate at some point. He's one of my favourites. I haven't done it yet. It's in, oh, you said it there. I was going to say, yeah, the 360s, the 4th century AD. As an apostate, that means a Christian apostate. We'd already had the Age of Constantine and Christianity becoming very, very prevalent in the Roman world. Julian Apostate returned back to that. He was anti-Christian. He tried to return Rome to the old pagan gods. You know. And so as far as Christians are concerned, he's an apostate. But he was a great military commander, one of the best to ever do it. Fascinating life, fascinating reign. All the chapters in Edward Gibbon, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, are very, very good on Julian the Apostate. Edward Gibbon was a big fan. But eventually he got himself killed in a war against the Persians in the east. Yeah, he burned his Tigris fleet. Yeah, he took a fleet up the Tigris, up to Ctesiphon, which is modern-day Baghdad, sort of. The ancient ruins of Ctesiphon are just outside Baghdad, but sort of Baghdad, effectively. It was called Ctesiphon back then. But he couldn't beat, what was it, Shapur II. He couldn't defeat him. Couldn't take Ctesiphon. And so on his retreat back westward, gets himself killed in a little skirmish, little ambush type thing. All right. It's a great story, though. Fascinating story. Brilliant story. One of those ones. Had Julian the Apostate lived longer, how different history might have been. One of those people. You know, like had Henry V or Alexander lived longer, how different things would have turned out. It's one of those ones. Okay, and the other factoid from Global Church History says, on this day in 1487, King Henry VII, Henry Tudor, defeated John de la Pole's Yorkists at Stoke Field. On Bodade's Epochs, my history theme channel behind the paywall on lotusetus.com, considering signing up for as little as £5 a month. At the moment, I'm doing Henry VIII. So a few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, you'll see that I've done all sorts of long-form content about his father, Henry VII, Henry Tudor. And so if you want detail all about that, Stokefield and Henry Tudor kind of wiping out the last, not exactly, but wiping out the last remnants of Yorkist descent. I mean, Henry VIII, even into the reign of Elizabeth I, the Pole family, the de la Poles, were an issue. There's like one little old lady of the de la Pole family left in Henry VIII's time. And he has her thrown in the tower and even executed, doesn't he? A big threat from sort of the remaining Yorkist faction, his father, Henry VII, puts down at Stoke. Okay, it's all there if you're interested. Okay. Perpetual Jonathan says, Rupert's already got the endorsement of John Terry, ex-England football captain, John Terry. But will he get the endorsement of Wayne Bridge? Another football player. Ex-football player, right? He's retired now, Wayne Bridge, surely. It definitely is. Could you cover the Dirty, Dirty Smear Merchants of the Toronto Star? Thanks. Oh, I don't know what the Dirty, Dirty Smear Merchants of the Toronto Star have said. I'll have a look at it later when I get off the show here today. I don't know what they've said. I'll have a look. Are they talking about Wayne Bridge? I'll have a look. Sorry. Right now, I don't have that information. But interesting. All right. Fallen Firebird says, Russian intelligence doesn't create division, as they'd have you believe. They see existing existential problems within the UK and attack them. It's hardly 4D chess, but normies will fall for it. Okay. Well, according to the poll, I guess that is what a lot of people are thinking. I mean, that's sort of my gut reaction, is that I'm not really buying this narrative. I mean, it could be true, couldn't it? It could all entirely be true what the BBC has fed us there. I just don't... I'm not sure. I don't think so. It doesn't feel... Okay. All right. GWFF says... ITM bow production. What's ITM, Harry? Do you know what that means? Oh. All right. I say production note. It's faffing around and fannying about. Because if you're going to assist, if you're going to insist on Formosa and Constantinople, you should. Also, Burnham wears mascara or guyliner. I'm going to use that. They're funny. Mascara and guyliner. Andy Bumham's guyliner. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. No Sternum Burnham and his guyliner. All right. Fallen Firebird again says, tightly controlled assisted dying is a moral good. My grandma has dementia and she's just vegetating in a care home. She's expressed a wish to die in her lucid moments, but I know they'll abuse it. Yeah, that's sort of exactly my feeling. It will get abused. Someone that's got terrible dementia and every now and again they sort of come back to themselves and they're like, let me die. I don't want this. Please, 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 please. Like, they're begging you. Someone in a hospital bed in excruciating pain, begging you to let them go, to let them die. Begging anyone that will listen. But it will get abused, won't it? It's tough. It's horrible. All right. Fortean Barber says, morning, how's it going? I've got a suggestion, Ulysses, if it's a struggle. Watch Ulysses 31. Ulysses. Brilliant 80s cartoon. Brilliant theme tune. And just pretend you've actually read it. Top draw cartoon, after all. Brilliant. One of my favourite 80s cartoon theme tunes going. Ulysses 31. They don't make them like that anymore. Check it out. Go and Google that for yourself. An 80s cartoon, Ulysses 31, opening theme. It's a banger. All right. Harry, can you bring up the YouTube ones for me? You'll have to do that if you can. Make it so. Engage. There they are. There they are. Okay, there's, again, 20-odd or so. So, all right, let's get through them. Something Wickedly, Shona, Superfan Shona. How are you this morning, madam? All good, I hope. You say, investigate queer's back door. Laughing, crying face. Yeah. Tatum says, what do you think of Kolternost from the USSR? I don't know what Kolternost is. Making the average person read big novels, play chess. Oh, okay. Oh, I know what you mean. I know what that is. Right, yeah. The state sort of forcing you to be cultured in some way. Making the average person read big novels, play chess, watch opera, ballet, etc., unlike modern Westerners. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know about forcing people to, but yeah, encouraging them to. Yeah, encourage them to be well-read and cultured in some way. Why not? Yeah. Yeah, get off TikTok and read a book. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big proponent of reading. That getting into the mind space, getting into the habit of sitting down quietly and reading, like for a few hours on end. Not many people do that anymore, it seems. Or if they do read, it's something off the internet. I love books. I mean, love with books. It was really old school thing now, it seems, really out of date. One of the only things I've ever collected in my life is books at home. I've got a few thousand books, without exaggeration, on a myriad of different things, on anything and everything. Sort of, it's the only thing I sort of collect or hold is books. Loads of them I'll never read, I'm sure. Yeah, I'll sit down and I'll be like, I want to read about Julian the Apostate. Oh, I'll find a book on that. I've got more than one book on that era, that period. I'll just get my well-thumbed copy of Gibbon off the shelf. Sit there and read for most of the evening, 2-3 hours, sit there reading. But a lot of people don't do it. That would be crazy to them. Why would they do that? There's not enough it's not stimulating enough. They'd be like, oh, I need to go back on Twitter for a moment. I need to scroll through YouTube Shorts for a minute, though. Yeah, encouraging people to read and be a bit more cultured is not a bad thing, is it? I think, blatantly. Okay, Shona again says, are you British if you haven't been... Oh, that's a bit dirty, a bit blue that. I'm not going to read that. It's quite funny, Shona, but if something's properly blue, I can't really read it out, because especially on this show, maybe on State of Politics, but this show's supposed to be clean because there might be kiddywinks in the room listening in the morning or in the car or something. Okay, I'll move on. Tatum says, it's really absurd how leftist Tommy is about ethnicity. He has the same position as Polanski. Literally anyone could be English, British, the whole world. Yeah, Tommy's a Sivnat. Yeah. Yeah. He's a Sivnat. Yeah. Yeah. Sam H. 1989 says, it's always the Russians when it comes to the perverted behaviour of our weirdo political class. First Mandy and now Starmer. Sure, we believe you. Winking emoji. Right, yeah. I mean, possibly it's just that, isn't it? Possibly they were still like rent boys in some way. I don't know, of course. Got no special insight. But it could be that it's just that, and they've just concocted all this about Russia. Who knows? I mean, the police said, we don't see any evidence of a state-backed operation going on here. They could just be wrong, though, couldn't they? Who knows? Shona again says, do we need to have desert detritus here? Good question. No, we don't. Good question, and no, we don't. It's not in our interests. Tack Best Defence says, are we supposed to believe that the government can find anyone in the country for naughty Facebook posts, but not the mystery Russian EL? Okay, question mark. I believe this EL is supposed to be in Russia. I think that's what I gathered from other things I was reporting. That he's, when he's posting stuff to them in Telegram, it's got a Moscow, they can tell, I guess, from electronic surveillance stuff, that they've got GCHQ to tell them it's actually coming from Russia, from Moscow. But I don't know. I think that's the case. I might be wrong. F Google 2 says, would you wear a jaunty hat? It's supposed to be hat. It's a typo. Would I wear a jaunty hat like Prince William? Yeah, why not? Why not? It's a classic. I'm not too proud. I think silly hats are funny often. Okay, Shona again says, Esther Saville's pal, it will be hellish. Esther Ransom was Jimmy Savile's pal. It will be hellish. Yeah, it will get abused, won't it? Assisted dying will just get abused. People that shouldn't really have been sent to their deaths will be, won't they? Kyle Langdon, 169, says, here you go, Bo and Harry, and gives $10. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. What else have we got? Ivan the Boneless, cool name, at Ivan the Boneless, says, morning all, Bo, any thoughts on the Peter Morrell and Nikia Sturgeon embezzlement scandal? Apologies if you've already spoke about this. Yeah, no, it's an ongoing ongoing trial, isn't it? I did talk all about it, a week or so ago, maybe slightly more than a week, when it was all in the front pages, when he pleaded guilty on the first day of his trial, and we talked about it a fair bit. But I'm sure it'll come up, it will come up again, when he gets convicted, or rather, when he gets sentenced, it'll be all in the news cycle again, won't it? I'll talk about it again. But I did talk about it a couple of days in a row, even. Yeah, well, my thoughts are that I just don't buy that Nicola, Wee Jimmy Cranky, couldn't have known anything was amiss. It's just not believable to me. Okay. Dakub says, rape gang inquiry report releases today. Good. Rupert Lowe's, I know some of the people that have worked on that expressly. It had to be tidied up from when the barristers released. You can't just release, well, you can, but to just release that, it would be a little bit of a mess. It would be a little bit difficult. So it's being released today. Good. Good. We'll see if the legacy corporate mainstream media try and memory hole it or just completely ignore it. Just lie about it by omission. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. May not, though. Hopefully, they don't. Hopefully. Okay, I'm sure we'll cover it. I'm sure we'll cover it here at Lotus Eaters. Okay, a fair few more still to get through. Tatum again says, this war was a disaster for us in America. We'll see if there is some sort of final deal within 60 days of now. And America, on that first night when Trump came out at Mar-a-Lago and said this is a war about regime change. Well, in those terms, if nothing else, that war aim, that war goal was not realised, was it? If nothing else. It's supposed to be all about stopping them, flipped to stopping them enriching uranium and taking their stockpile of enriched uranium off them, weapons-grade uranium. So far, that hasn't happened, has it? We'll see. Okay, something wickedly again, Shona says, I'm reading Gulag Archipelago. It's mad. Yeah, great read. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It's very long. Very, very long. There's more than one volume as well. You may have one book. There's usually more than one. If it was all in one tome, it would be like this wide. So, okay, the Gulag. Yeah, an amazing read. Listen to it on audiobook if you're not into reading. The stories he tells about Russian oppression, repression, how he was treated, how many, many, many people were treated under the Soviet system. Leftists will try and claim it's all made up and stuff, or a lot of it is made up and exaggerated. I don't think so. Oh, socialism, communism isn't all that bad. It's not really that. Solzhenitsyn is just a lie. He's just a shill for the West. No, not. The Gulag system. Harrowing. Hard to believe that happened in the 20th century. Thundercook 2028 says, Russia bombed the equivalent of Notre Dame in Kiev. Did they? When was that? I'll have to look that up. Was that recently? Was that like last night? Or okay. Not good. Not good. Yeah. I hate that. I hate the destruction of important buildings. Wherever that happens in the world. Whether it's in Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever. A shame. Or when actual Notre Dame burnt down. Don't ask about the details of that, how that actually happened. A worker dropped a cigarette, was it? Okay, King Philip 1861 doesn't say anything and just gives a donation, so thank you for that. Thank you for that, sir. Appreciate it. Ezek 86 says, now that the dust has settled, why did the Russians get Ukrainian rent boys to burn the Prime Minister's property? Well, we've been through it. I guess you sent that earlier, but we've been through it today. Yeah, again, when you put it like that, exactly like that, it doesn't like make obvious sense, does it? It doesn't sort of obviously add up. But okay. Psycho Hobo says, that's their name, at Psycho Hobo says, have you read Camp of the Saints? You should. No, I haven't, but I'm aware of it. I know what's in it. I've read like a synopsis, a review of it. I know what the story is, but I haven't actually read it myself. It's actually relatively difficult to get a copy. I think it's like, it's out of print. And you could like get a copy off Amazon, but it's like quite expensive. I think that's the case. I looked into it once about buying a copy and it was like, it wanted loads of money, like 100 quid or something. I was like, I don't know about that. Maybe I should though. I should read it. It's one of those ones I should read. But I know about it. I know what the story is and what it says, but I really should read the whole thing, shouldn't I? Yeah, okay. Good advice. Thank you. Thank you, Psycho Hobo. All right, and the last one here today. Diana Bauer, 3960, says, taking the power away from girls, filming these foreigners approaching them by taking their phones away from them. Sorry, what are you saying there? Taking the power away from girls, filming these foreigners approaching them by taking their phones away from them. I don't know what that's in reference to. What I don't know what you're saying that in context of what. I'm sorry, Diane, but I'm not sure exactly what you're saying or asking there. I'm sorry. Okay. One more's just popped in. Varug231 says, some good news. I saw the BBC News is having to do job cuts. Nice. Also, I'm sure the government would never abuse any infrastructure made to ban under 16s and use it against normal people. True Raikou. Yeah. Yeah, it's what it is. It's obviously, isn't it? It's an exercise in taking more power for themselves, censoring all of us. Of course it is. All right, that's the show. It's now 19 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Tuesday the 16th of June in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. I know it's not always easy. Carpe diem, seize the day. If it's possible to use your time in a valuable way, because it's the most precious thing you will ever have, is your time. You've only got a finite number of days on this earth. Try and make them count if you can. All right then, without being too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.